Hey friends, good morning. Welcome once again to Cornerstone. We're glad that you're a part of this morning, no matter where it is that you are. Okay, so here is what we're gonna do this morning. We're gonna do three pretty simple things together. Here's number one. We're gonna talk a little bit about how I'm feeling. We're gonna talk about how I'm feeling because I think from talking to a bunch of you that a lot of you are feeling the same way, okay? So we're gonna talk about how a lot of us are feeling right now. Here's the second thing that we're gonna do. We're gonna talk about how to navigate this time. Because as COVID cases have spiked and as things have begun to be canceled in the fall, I think that a lot of us are feeling a renewed sense of frustration, a renewed sense of kind of tiredness and weariness. And we got to kind of circle up a little bit and talk about how we're going to navigate this time together. So we're going to talk about that and get super practical there for a little bit. And then here's the third piece. The third piece, we're going to talk about a couple of things, a couple of verses in particular that I just think are really good for us to have on our front burners right now. I mean, in this season that we're seeking to navigate well, a couple of things that point back to just a core belief that we have as followers of Jesus, I want to get those for us as a community. I want to get those right on the front of our minds. And I'd like for that to be something that we really live into this week. So I'm going to give you those deals here at the end. And look, along the way, we're going to have some fun. I don't know if you can see these already, but I brought some props, okay? We're going to talk about these, and I'm going to use these to illustrate the scripture that we're going to be talking through this morning. We're going to have a little bit of fun, and we're going to drive towards how do we be men and women, teenagers and children, who navigate this time well, who somehow find a way to thrive in the midst of a really tough time. So let's pray together. Holy Spirit, come. Be with us. Guide us as we seek to navigate the scripture this morning, and then guide us after this time as we seek to navigate life. Lord, this is a time that is weird, and it's a time that's tough, but it's a time that we know that you are with us in the midst of. So guide us during this conversation. I pray the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts and minds, they'll be pleasing to you, O Lord. You're our rock and our redeemer. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, when people ask you how you're doing, how do you respond right now? Like in this season, do you have kind of a go-to response? If we run into each other and you ask me how I'm doing, I'm probably going to tell you this. I've told dozens of people this. This is how I'm doing right now. Macro level, everything's great. Nothing to complain about. Big picture, we're good. So many other people have so many bigger things that they got going on. Micro level, things are tough. I mean, micro level, we got antsy kids. The being far away from people is really wearing on both Amy and on myself. There's a lot of just little stuff that's adding up that feels tough. I think there are a lot of people that are feeling that right now. You know, it's funny, for some people, the breaking point this past week was the canceling of the state fair. Do you know what I mean? I mean, the canceling of the state fair is not a huge deal, but it's another small thing. And I think that it feels big, one, because it's a big economic issue for a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people aren't going to have the income that they would have had this fall. And you know, we feel for them. And two, that thing hadn't been canceled since a world war. And then three, it's just another reminder that the fall, just like the summer, is not going to look normal. And I think for a lot of us, and for some of you, you've got the big macro stuff and you've got the micro stuff. I think for a lot of us, all of this small stuff, it's adding up and the weight of it is just pushing down on us. And a lot of us are feeling weary and a lot of us are feeling tired. You know, if I had to pick one word to kind of frame all of this up and to describe where I feel like we are right now, it's a word that's kind of a buzzword in the business world, okay? But it perfectly describes where we are. I think many, many, many of us feel like we are living in a time of disruption. I mean, think about how much your life has been disrupted. And when you think about how much your life has been disrupted, it makes sense of why you feel so weary, of why you feel so tired. I mean, sometimes I think, why do I feel so worn out by this? Why do I feel so beat down by this? Well, think about everything in your life that's been disrupted. Think about this. A fundamental part of your life is eating, okay? It's getting food into your home or it's going out and eating. And think of something that fundamental to your life, the way that you did that for however many years you've been alive, has now changed. you get food in a different way now than you used to. Or think about this. This is a bigger one. Think about social interaction. From the day that you were born, you were trained to interact with people by being close to them and by having physical contact from very early on. And then you grew up and you learned to interact with people by shaking hands and giving hugs and giving high fives, being close to people. And you learned to interact with people by reading their facial expressions. And now we find ourselves in a place where we can't see people's faces frequently, where we can't draw close to people, and where there are only some people that we can give high fives and hugs and handshakes to. Look, the way that we interact with people has fundamentally shifted. The way that you make a living, the way that you get your education, all of it's changed. And we shouldn't be surprised at all that we feel beat down, that we feel weary because of this. I remember when I started my first full-time job right out of college, I was exhausted just a few days in. And I remember telling somebody, I don't know why I'm so beat down. And what he said to me is he said, whenever you start a new job, you're going to feel this way. Think about all the things that you have to think about. You have to think about where the bathroom is. You have to think about where the break room is. You have to think about where your boss's office is. You have to think about all of these things that in 2 weeks you won't have to think about anymore. Think about all the things over the last 3 or 4 months that you have to think about that you didn't have to think about before. And then we start thinking about the fall. It's no wonder that we feel weary and beat down during this time of disruption. Okay. But what's clear is that some people are navigating this time better than others. And for many of us, we feel like the disruption is pushing us down. We're like those proverbial wagon wheels that are stuck in the mud, right? And maybe we feel like we break free sometimes and we're rocking and rolling, but we get back in there. And then there are other people that seem to be thriving during this. So what we're going to look at is some super practical ways, one in particular, and then we'll allude to some others. One in particular, one super practical thing that we can do that will help us to thrive in the midst of this. Okay, to get after that, we're going to look at a couple of different stories in the Bible. One in the book of Acts, which is what we're reading through as a church right now. A buddy of mine texted me the other day and said, look, Acts is all about people being disrupted. And he's right. And then we're going to look at a story from even before that. So if you've got your Bibles, you can tag along, make some notes in your Bibles. If not, we're going to have it up here on the screen for you. I'm going to read through it. I'm going to kind of illustrate it for us. I think it's good for us to get a mental picture of what's going on here and be thinking about what does this say to us about how we navigate this disruption in our lives. Okay, all right. Genesis chapter 1 is where we're starting. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Okay, here's the thing. Have you ever thought about what the first commandment that God ever gives to people is? If it's the first one, it's got to be important. The first thing that he ever tells people is this. Be fruitful and multiply. Get out there and make more people, okay? Get out there and make more people. That's not a bad commandment. Make more people and fill the earth and subdue it. And subdue it means like rule over it, take care of it. Get out there, make more of yourself and spread out over all of the earth. Okay, so here is the earth. This right here is all of the earth. It also happens to be what I serve fajitas on, but for us today, this is the earth, okay? And this right here is a box full of Lego people that I took out of my boys' room after they went to bed last night. So Amy, I hope they're not looking for it right now. Okay, all right. So these are a bunch of people. Aquaman, Harry Potter, the one-legged wizard, you know, alien, that doesn't really work. You gotta go over here, okay? All right, here's what God says. Get out there, make more of yourself, and spread out and fill the whole earth. This is the plan. This is their purpose. Get out there and do that. Fast forward 10 chapters and look at what's happening. Now, the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they settled there. I picture caribou in Canada moving around together. And they said to one another, come, let's make some bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and they had bitumen for mortar. So they developed a way to build stronger structures. And they come up with an idea. Here's our idea. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. and let us make a name for ourselves. You know, the way that this is normally read, this is the Tower of Babel story, is that they're trying to make their own way to heaven. They are trying to make a name for themselves in the sense that, like, you know, they can exist apart from God and all that. And maybe that's part of it, but there's another thing that's happening here that's just right on the surface. Doesn't even take a lot of interpretation. Lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. Do you see that? Have you missed that part before? I think this is the whole point of this story. Look, here's what they say. Look, we found this little spot that we like, this one little place in the earth. Let's build ourselves a tower and stay here, lest we do what God wants us to do. That's what that says. Lest we live into the purpose that God has for us. I mean, this is the tension that humans have from the very beginning. We think we know better. I mean, that's the whole deal, right from the very beginning, okay? Let's stay here. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. There are a few more verses. God doesn't like this, okay? And then God shakes up the tower, gives them different languages. They stop building the tower, and what happens? The Lord dispersed them from there over all the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. They're all traveling around together, doing the exact opposite of what God asked them to do. They find a little spot that they like, and then it's not even enough that they live in one city together. They need a really tall tower so that all of them can fit in there and pile on top of each other. There goes Harry. There goes Lex Luthor. Pile on top of each other, Aquaman, so that they are all living in one particular spot on the earth. And what does it take to get them back on track? Do you see this? I mean, if God had allowed this to continue, then they would have never lived into the purpose that God had for them. But God comes and does what? Disrupts the deal. And they come out hesitantly. And when that disruption happens, they get back to their original purpose. And they're dispersed. They're scattered over the earth. Not the way that they were originally intended to. But God still got them there. You see that? Okay, let's fast forward from the last commandment, from the first commandment that God gives to the last commandment that Jesus gives. You see this inclusio here? You see these bookends? First commandment that God gives, here's the last commandment that Jesus gives. You will be my witnesses in four places. Jerusalem, that's near where they are. Judea, close. Samaria, a little bit further north. And to the ends of the earth, that's far. People are now everywhere, physically filling the earth, but there are only a few people that are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says to them, when you get the Spirit, spread out, fill the whole earth. Same commandment. First is fill it physically, now it's fill it spiritually. And they don't thumb their nose at this the way the first Christians do. They don't intentionally not do this, but look at what happens here. The word of God continued to increase. The church grew like crazy. There are over 5,000 people very quickly that are following after Jesus. And the number of disciples multiplied greatly. Where? In Jerusalem. You see that? Now, we don't know if they are intentionally not going out or not, but what we know is that they are all where? In one spot, and it's fine. They have great community and things are going well and all of that stuff. But if they don't spread out, nobody else is hearing about this deal. You know what happens? Right after this verse, persecution begins to break out. The first Christian martyr is killed, a man named Stephen. That's in chapter 7 of Acts. And then the beginning of chapter 8 tells us this. There arose that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout where? The regions of Judea and Samaria. You see that? It's the same thing. Now look, did God intend for those early humans to not obey him? Probably not. He probably wanted them to follow the plan. Does God want these early Christians to be persecuted? No, he loves his people. But is God going to use these bad decisions that human beings are making? First in Babel and then the idea to persecute people? Is God going to use that for his good? Of course, he uses everything for good. It doesn't mean that he wants the suffering, but he will use the suffering for good. And he shakes up the early church. And what do? They spread out. I don't know about you, but I know that this is true for me. A lot of times, until there is some kind of disruption in my life, I am just going to continue going on doing what I'm doing. And here's the thing. There's actually quite a bit about my life that needs to be disrupted. There's actually quite a bit about our world, and we're seeing this clearly now. There's quite a bit about our world that needs to be disrupted. Does that mean that God is causing coronavirus and all this? No. But it means that God is going to use that disruption, if we allow him to get us back on track. God will use that disruption. You see, it seems to me that what's happening here is that some of us are getting pushed down into the muck and our wheels are getting stuck and we're having a hard time moving forward. And some people, instead of getting pushed down, they're not getting pushed forward. They're getting pushed back. Okay? Track with me here for a second. Those early human beings, what happened to them? They got pushed back to their original purpose to spread out. Those early Christians, what happened? They got pushed back to their original purpose to spread out. You see some companies doing this well. I mean, the companies that are going to navigate this time well, look, I'm not a business person, but even I can see this. The companies that are going to navigate this time well are not going to be the ones that say, okay, we got to sell everything that we can. We got to have the biggest profit that we can possibly have this quarter, and we have a pretty good model. We just need to double down on our current model. That's not going to be the people that survive this. The companies that survive this will be the ones that will go back and say, what was our original purpose? What's our original intent here? Who are we as a company? And then how do we creatively go about this in a new way? I mean, they're pushed back to their original purpose of spreading out both these groups of people, and then they spread out in a different way than they normally would have, okay? It wasn't plan A, but they still do it. Some companies are doing this, circling back up and saying, okay, what is most important? Now, how is that going to spawn creativity? I can tell you, we're not a company, but we are a pretty big organization and one that's been around for 104 years. It's not easy to pivot. I'll tell you, our staff members that are doing the best right now are the ones that are not getting pushed down, and they're not the ones that are just scrambling, trying to move forward at all costs. They're not the ones that are just worried about all that. They're the ones that are pausing and looking back and saying, why do we do this again? What is it that we're after? Okay, we're after helping people become disciples of Jesus. Once they get that clarity on purpose, then they are able to get creative about where we go next. Those are our staff members that are just rocking and rolling right now. So let's take this on a personal level. At a personal level, how is it that God might be using this time of disruption to drive you back so that you're ready to move forward? I've talked with a few friends about this. Amy and I have talked with two different couples that have said that they are reevaluating their understanding of who they're going to spend their time with. They're revisioning their understanding of what matters in friendships, which is a little scary for us because, like, we're friends with them, you know what I mean? But I think if they told us, then we're not in this category. But one of them said, we're recognizing that we got the wrong friend group and we need a totally different friend group. And some of the others are saying, look, we spend time with some of our friends and it's just, I mean, honestly, it's just kind of all surface level, and we want to spend time with people that we're better after spending time with them. And they're saying, we're going to spend more time with less people. And both of them came to this from the same place. They came to it by getting back to what's friendship for? It's for having a mutual relationship where we edify each other, where we help each other grow, and all of that stuff, where it's not just one-way relationships, and where it's not just for fun, but where it's fun and we help each other to grow in our lives, support each other, all of these things. They went back to what's the purpose? What's the purpose of friendship? And it is shaping their future now as they're shifting the way that they spend time with people. Think about this with parents. Many of us have had to get back to the basics and remind ourselves, we are not parents for us. The point of parenting is not for me to be happy. The point of parenting is to raise my kids up to be great men and women. And that changes when you get rerooted in that. It changes the way that you parent. Here's just a way to think about it. If we allow it to, would this time of instability, would this time of turbulence, would this time of uncertainty, would this time of disturbance and disruption, what it can do is it can push us back to have more clarity around our purpose and then push us forward to have more creativity in our actions. Get clarity around why is it that we invest time with friends on the weekends? Oh yeah, I remember. And then it gives you creativity saying, well, I think, you know, maybe we don't need to have this friend group, or maybe we don't need to hang out with all of these people all the time. Same thing with parenting, same thing with business, same thing with all of these things. How is it that this time of disruption can be giving you clarity of your purpose, reminding you what's most important, and then allowing you to be creative in how you respond to it? Look, this right here, I think can help you in a lot of the areas of your life. But let's hone in on and wrap up by talking about the most important. I hesitate to even make faith its own category because it's not. It's like the thing that everything else is built around, okay? It impacts the friendships, it impacts the business, it impacts the parenting, it impacts everything else. But for the sake of this, let's talk about it as its own thing. How is this time of disruption impacting you when it comes to your faith? You know what's being disrupted? What's being disrupted is a world that moves at far too harried of a pace. You know what's being disrupted? What's being disrupted is a worldview that says that if you want to make something of yourself, you got to make something of yourself. You know what's being disrupted? What's being disrupted for many of us were jobs and commitments in our community and commitments to family, commitments that were so overwhelming that we couldn't actually do it all and maintain our sanity and maintain our health, physical and emotional. What's being disrupted is a pace of life that ultimately wasn't sustainable and led us to make terrible decisions individually and in some cases corporately. You know what's being disrupted? What's being disrupted is a lot of stuff that needed to be disrupted. A lot of us look at the way that life was, and we were putting all of our eggs in the basket of just what our culture teaches us about what it means to be successful, profitable, all of that stuff. We were putting all our eggs in that basket. And God's using the coronavirus and a bunch of other stuff to just knock this whole thing down and say, come on, come on. I do remember the original purpose. I mean, do you remember what you're made for? Do you remember this? Do you remember that you are so much more than just somebody who needs to be out there doing stuff all the time? You just need to be sometimes. Do you remember that you are somebody made in my image and that you are somebody for whom Jesus died? I mean, do you remember this? I mean, what's being disrupted is a harried pace of life that distracted us from all of this. And we have the opportunity in this moment to stop and to say, look, I'm going to move forward, and I'm going to move forward creatively, and I think life's going to be even better on the other side of this. Look, I'm going to move forward, but first I'm going to stop, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to remember the whole deal, the whole purpose of this from the very beginning. Now, there are a lot of ways that we could remind ourselves of who we are and our purpose and who we are in Christ and all those things, but I just to simplify this, I just want to remind you about two verses. Just two verses that I hope will be in the forefront of our minds all week long. Just remember these two verses. Matthew 11. You can turn there, but I think I'd rather you just hear it. Matthew 11, verses 28 and 29. Do you remember this? And maybe nobody's ever told you this, okay? Hey, hear this. This is what Jesus says. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke, which is just a first century way of saying my teaching. Take my teaching upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. And I and you will find in me rest for your souls. Do you know this? Do you know that while the world says that it is all about what you do, the very foundation of our faith says, no. It's all about what Jesus does and what we do in response to that. Do you know that while the world tells you, you got to make a name for yourself, you got to get out there, that our faith tells us that the most important name that you can be known by is that you are a follower of Jesus, that you are a Christian, that you are someone who walks in the way of Christ. I mean, do you remember this? I mean, for some of you, this is hitting and you like get it. And for some of you, this is hitting and it sounds hokey and it sounds cheesy. And that's fine. And if that's the case, then I'm just telling you, you haven't actually experienced this yet and you need to, because it's better than you can imagine. That in him, you can find that rest that you are so desperately chasing after in all of the other areas of our lives, that peace, that purpose, that security, all of that stuff. Jesus says, you can find that in me. Friends, I don't know what else you need to go back and recenter yourself on. Maybe it's around friendships or your job or something else. I don't know. But I know that all of us this week need to go back and recenter ourselves on Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Just read it and just sit in it and just say, God, I want this peace. And it is from that place, being rerooted in your purpose, which is your purpose is to be connected to God, to be rerooted in your purpose. It is from that place that you'll find the creativity and the initiative and the motivation and everything else to move forward. I'll close with this. Notice that he doesn't say, you're just going to be walking around one day, just in your everyday, ordinary life, and then you're going to have peace. He says, come to me. Come to me and I'll give you rest. He doesn't say, look, you're going to just be believing whatever you want to believe, living your life the way that you want to live it. You doing you. You're going to be doing all of that. And then I'm just going to show up one day and then you'll have rest for your souls. No. It's look, if you take my teaching upon you, if you learn from me, then you will have rest for your souls. It's not that he's just going to come in and just smack us over the head with it. It's that if we come to him, and if we learn from him, that's where the rest comes from. So for this week, this is what we're going to do. We're going to sit in Matthew 11, 28, and 29. We're going to sit in that stuff and just seek to believe that. And then next week, we're going to talk about, all right, how do we actually move forward creatively, okay? And if you think these props are good, you just wait. I'm ordering stuff off of Etsy for next week, okay? Look, next week we're going to talk about how is it that we creatively move forward? How do we become or continue to be the men, the women, the teenagers, and the children that are making an impact on this world, where not only are we living at rest and living at peace, but where we are making that kind of impact on other people? Because I think that all of us want that. I think that we want to be woken back up from our weariness, and I think that we want to help other people also. So this week, we're going to go back, sit in that purpose ourselves, and next week, we're going to talk about how to go forward and how to be a blessing to other people and actually implement this stuff. How do we actually live this out? Because so much of the world, we have no control over. You know that. So much of what's happening, you have no control over, but you have a lot of control over how you respond to this. And whether you get pushed down or whether you get pushed back to your purpose and then pushed forward, you got control. You got control over that. And if you are the kind of man, woman, teenager, or child who is getting rooted in your relationship with Jesus and your purpose, if you're that kind of person, then you may not have a huge impact on the world. But you're going to have an impact on the world. And imagine if all of us, I mean, come on, all of us that are a part of this morning, imagine if all of us spend this week getting rooted back in that. I mean, the world's going to look different because we're going to look different, because you're going to look different. And it starts by recognizing that God is using this time of disruption to slow you down, to break down the lies that our culture tells us about how we find success and all of that stuff, and get you back rooted in your purpose of being connected to the God who made you to begin with. So I'm going to pray that's going to be true for us, and then we'll be back together next week to talk more about how do we actually begin to live out a life after being rooted in him. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for the way that you're speaking to us, that you're just alive around us. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit that continues to lead us. Thank you for the way that you have used the book of Acts over this past few weeks to impact so many people in our community. Thank you for the way that you're using even something as heartbreaking and as terrible as this virus, how you're using even that to disrupt us in ways that drive us back towards you. God, help us to be men and women and teenagers and children who take the time to rest in you, even if it's just a few minutes a day, just sitting and being and reading Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Help us to be those kinds of people. And we're just going to trust you're going to do something big with that. God, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, friends.